This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This has been an unusual week. You know, you just have certain weeks where everything sort of merges together. I've got notes. We'll see. I do want to, while I have all these thoughts in my head about this week, I do just want to talk about this week, because this was a really interesting week. Everything's going fine at work, so that's good. All is well. But Friday night, last Friday night, Annette and I were watching a movie or something, and we got a text from Alan, my son-in-law, who's also the pastor of Praise Assembly, that our church secretary's husband, who is a deputy for Greene County, we got a text that she had received word from him that his car had been washed off the road and they couldn't reach him. And so, of course, we all started praying. I should tell you as well that last Friday, the rain was coming down in buckets. I mean, it was just coming down like crazy. There were flash flood warnings out. And so, we started praying. I went to bed because I had a breakfast the next morning with a friend, and then Nett came and woke me up, and she said they found the car and Aaron's dead, which, you know, he's 35 years old, has a young wife, child 7 years old. I mean, it's just a huge shock. So then, rightly so, Alan has been preaching a series on the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he preached about the flesh last week before last. He was going to preach about the devil this week, this last week. But, you know, with Aaron's death being so unexpected, with it him being so integral at the church. He was the head of the security team at the church. They just, you know, they're very close to the staff. It was just a big hit. And so they decided they were just going to take a pause and have a service. It wasn't really a memorial service for Aaron, but it was a little bit of a recollection service, and then it was also just, what do we do when these type of events hit? And it was a very good service. Alan preached a really good sermon. He's done really well, but I mean, you could just hear sniffles through the congregation throughout the whole service. So, you know, that was kind of a little hit. At the same time, I finished my first editing run, and then I needed to start my Grammarly run, which the Grammarly run, if anything will swear you off writing, it's the Grammarly run, because what you do is you give it your manuscript and it grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds. And then eventually comes out, you know, with these 2,000 things that it thinks you need to look at. And so then you just have to work your way through them. And, I mean, it's a haul. I'm 3/4 of the way through it at this point. And I didn't think I was going to get that far. I should also say that I really needed to keep anywhere on schedule for book 9, because it's supposed to go to beta October 1st. To keep anywhere on schedule, I need to be done with all the files for book 9 either before we go on the first half of our vacation, or we have a little interlude. We're going to go away for a couple of days, and then we're going to be back, and then we're going for a few more days. And that's coming up fast. And so I really need to start the cover this weekend. That's the plan. Start the cover this weekend. We had Aaron's death on Friday. Really in a big push to get the book edited. We had a deployment to do at work. Pretty big deployment that had to get done. And then I think it was Tuesday, Lynette said, "So has Alan talked to you?" And I said, "No." He said, and she said, "Well, they want us to sing 'Great is Thy Faithfulness' for the funeral." Well, yes, of course we'll do that. Absolutely, yes, no question, yes, we will do that. Except Nett and I haven't done anything together since the last funeral, which was 5 or 6 months ago. So both of us are out of practice. And before that, it had been several months before we had done anything together. I mean, so, you know, we're at that stage now where we're just not doing it all the time. And when that happens, then you just start losing. You lose breath patterns and you lose connection points between consonants and vowels and tuning, and you lose, I mean, you just lose that stuff, and you can't get it back instantly. It takes a lot of practice. And but yes, absolutely yes, there's only one answer when someone asks you out of the kindness of their hearts to sing for a funeral. You say yes. Obviously, if it's somebody you know, you just, that's what you do. So I've been trying to edit. The young lady who lives with us came home Tuesday night, and she had raging allergies or a raging cold or something, and both Lynette and I are just kind of leaning away, like, going, no, we're not going to be very sociable, you know, because we wanted to make sure we were in good voice for this. So then that was something else. In addition to the deployment we were doing this week, I had to fix a currency problem that we were having. And it had to be done in conjunction with the deployment. And the currency problem was that when I built all the currency tables for all the different currencies in the world that we refresh every night, when I built all the currency tables, I built them with using what's called a decimal 3819, which means that you have 19 decimal points behind the dot, which is plenty of resolution for anything you want. As it turns out, because of the way I was doing the division, big, long, hairy, complicated story, we were only getting about 6, and I didn't realize that. And then in this expense reporting thing I had done, we were only getting 5 because I had only set the field to 9-5. Everything was just fine until mid-August, when we had some people turning in their expenses of a regional retreat that had occurred in Indonesia. And apparently the Indonesia rupiah, the exchange rate is like 14,500 to 1. So we were getting that last digit lopped off. And as it turned out, the currency was bouncing around 7 and 6.9. It was actually 0.0007 or 0.00069. Well, it would get the 6.9, it would do the multiplication, everything would be fine. But if that got sent back to the missionary to redo it, then it wasn't 6'9" anymore. It was only 6 because that digit would get lopped off. And then their hotel bill, they're only getting reproduced. You're only getting reimbursed for out of the $1,600. You know, they're only getting reimbursed $1,400. That's not good. So I had that to fix this week as well. And then what else? Oh, like Tuesday night, I get home and there's a note in the mailbox from the Missouri Department of Revenue registered mail. They needed a signature and there was no one there to get the signature. So between all those things, it turned into an interesting week. It was funny with the registered mail thing because, you know, I told myself, I said, look, you have no idea what this is. You can sit here and think it's the worst thing in the world, or you can think it's the best thing in the world. Maybe they're writing you a check for $10,000. Probably not, but maybe they are. Maybe they want $10,000 from you. Really, probably not. But who knows? It can be anything in between those things. So eventually, let's see, Tuesday, we did do the deploy, got that out of the way. It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe it was... I don't know, I'd have to look at my notes. No, I think it was Tuesday. We got the deployment done Tuesday, got that out of the way, got the currency stuff shuffled through. Maybe it was Wednesday. Anyways, got that taken care of. Ned and I got to practice a couple of times. We got pretty close, so... You know, we knew, yeah, this is probably going to be okay. Because we got kind of that practiced up. Got home Wednesday. They had re-delivered the letter. So I got everything unloaded and taken care of. And then I opened the letter. And turns out we owe the Missouri Department of Revenue $32. So, you know, I'll just write them a check for that. So I did that last night when I did all the finances. Mailed it off today. That's taken care of. Had a couple other things I need to take care of. Got them taken care of. Net and I got practiced up for the funeral. I got that taken care of. The one big thing was that I was behind. I was seriously behind on the editing. Because I'd lost some time. Wait. Young lady coming down in a car on the T intersection there, and she looked the other way and didn't see anyone coming, and then she just started coming my way. So the book was the big thing. This funeral turned into a big deal. I mean, it turned into a big deal. So apparently there are agencies that handle funerals for police officer because he did die on the line of duty, in the line of duty. So apparently there was a lightning strike. This is the latest I've heard. Apparently there was a lightning strike that caused a false call to 911 way out in the boonies. And so they have to check those out. So Aaron took off and went down there. It's over by Fair Grove. And I think he got that result. And it was just raining buckets. I mean, that, in fact, they said later that it was a record for a one-day rainfall. That the record had been set 70 years ago, something like that, I was reading. Of the amount of rainfall that fell in that area. So, you know, you've got this accidental 911 call. You've got record rainfall. It happens to come from a place that's way out in the boonies that he's not familiar with. It happens to be one of these little dinky bridges out in the county where there's just no money to do anything else. It has no guardrails on it. There's no warning signs. There's no markers. You know, and the people who lived out there, they said, yeah, this is really, it's dangerous. They said anybody who's from this area knows that you get any kind of rain at all in this area, you do not go down that road. Because they said it's really deceptive. You're coming up, you come up over a little rise, and then there's a dip right there, and all of a sudden you're in it. And so apparently that's what happened. He was in it, and the water grabbed his car, and they said his car was upside down when they found him. So because he died in the line of duty, I think, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, the sheriff's department just swelled around Kim, and she had a constant escort everywhere she went. And, she went out of the house, and she had people carrying her stuff for her. And, I mean, she just. So then, of course, you got to go through all the planning, and they got through that. And. Praise seats, I think Praise seats, if I remember right, about 1600-ish, 1500-ish, and about 900 on the main floor, and then there's 500 or 600 in the galleys, and then up into the back. And the way they seated everybody is, they seated main, just regular people down on the floor, and the floor was full. They had some police officers who were down there, but mostly on the floor, it was just civilians, and then the galleys and the balcony were all filled with police officers. So there's a lot of people that turned out in uniform, in dress blues, to pay their respects. And it was very touching. It was very touching. Net and I got through our song, and so that all went well. And Alan did a great job, and Dylan and Nicole did a great job with music, and all the eulogies were touching, and Kim did a great job. She actually got up and spoke, which was excellent. She did a really good job. And it was good. But of course, I mean, all those things of, they certainly could pile on top of you and give you high blood pressure and give you all kinds of stress. But, step at a time. Step at a time. What do I need to do right now? Do that. Move on to the next thing. And because it was going to be such a big deal at church, I had already decided, they had already warned us all. And so I actually left work, basically lost a day of work, left work today at 9:45. I got there right at 10, and I was going to truck my way into the sanctuary. And as I got there, the hearse is pulling up with all these police vehicles, and they're giving Aaron the honor entrance, where there's a line of policemen there, and they're very carefully taking out the casket and rolling it down, and nobody can go through those doors. And so I kind of found a little cubby just to stand out of the way. And then I tried to find a door to get in. And then, as it turned out, Nett and I couldn't practice in the sanctuary. We went and found a piano and did some practicing and got that under control. But so because of that, I was at church from 10 till 5:30. Obviously, some of that was the funeral. But in the meantime, I just hunkered down and started editing. So, I think I'm pretty well caught up. I got to go in and do some more editing tonight. See if I can get the rest of it hammered down so I can start the layout tomorrow, and then start the cover. But all in all things considered, with everything, with all the stuff that was going on, it was a good week. It was a good week. And God knows the details of everything that's going on. I have my own thoughts maybe about how I see everything that happened this week. And I don't think I'm going to share those. Because there's just some really amazing, quote unquote, coincidences with this whole thing. And we never know what God has in mind. And God does reserve the right to spend his children any way he chooses. But talking any more about it than that would, I think it would be inappropriate. So I'll talk to my daughter about that, and, you know, some friends as we go out for walking and stuff. But I guess I just have too much missionary experience in me, and I have seen too much of how God will at times spend his children for a larger plan. And so we'll just see. But I'm grateful this week for his provision. I'm grateful this week for his help. I'm grateful this week for his reminders that it's step at a time and everything's going to be okay. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.